It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WAVE. Good morning. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Great to have you with us. On Wednesday, North Korea shook up the world with its announcement that it had tested a hydrogen bomb. There's a lot of question as to whether it was a device that powerful. Former Georgia Senator Sam Nunn is the co-founder of the Nuclear Threat Initiative, along with Ted Turner. He's also a distinguished professor at the Sam Nunn School of International Affairs at Georgia Tech. He joins us now. Senator, thank you so much for giving us this time, and welcome.
Thank you, Dennis. It's good to be with you.
Do we know yet whether this is, in fact, a hydrogen bomb?
The information I've gotten, Dennis, is that it's too early to tell, but the preliminary estimates from experts outside government is that it was about the size of nuclear tests they've had before, which are roughly equivalent, perhaps slightly less, than a Hiroshima bomb. So even if it was not a hydrogen bomb, it's still a very significant test because it's testing a weapon, as we've seen with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that is devastating and unlike any other weapon that man has ever possessed.
If it were a hydrogen bomb, though, how much more powerful would it be?
Well, that would be a huge step up. There's a book called Command and Control, and anyone interested in this whole subject and anyone interested in reducing risk in the world should read that book, Command and Control, written by a guy named Eric Schlosser. He says something that's pretty startling. He says the difference between a hydrogen bomb and an atomic bomb like Hiroshima, if you took all the explosives in World War II by all the participants, all the countries, and you included in that the two atomic weapons we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and multiplied that by three, that total number by three, that's what a hydrogen thermonuclear bomb would be.
But with all of the monitoring that we have now and the intelligence services in the international community, had we had any indication that North Korea was close to producing a hydrogen bomb, again, we don't know whether they actually did, but have we had any signs that they were that close?
Well, I haven't gotten an intelligence briefing on this in a long time, so I'm not speaking from that kind of knowledge, but I would say that we would have probably picked up a number of signs if they were really, at this stage, capable of that kind of hydrogen explosion. But the fact they've got atomic bombs is problem enough. And so dealing with North Korea is one of the most difficult problems, and we can see that because you'll probably have some politicians talk in the next few days about various rather grandiose and simplistic approaches. But we've been through about four administrations, a couple of Republicans, a couple of Democrats who've been dealing with this North Korean quest for a nuclear weapon, and no one has had the answer. In my opinion, there's not a simple answer, but we have to work with South Korea, we have to work with Japan, and we have to work with China. China has a huge influence on North Korea. They deny that they can control what they do, and I think that's probably true. But interestingly enough, Dennis, one of the things that is pretty clear, both our South Korean friends and our Chinese colleagues fear a collapse of North Korea. Almost as much as they fear the nuclear weapon, maybe more in some cases, because a collapse of North Korea, whether from military action by outside parties or from internal revolt or just from a collapse of the economy, would produce millions and millions of refugees heading both to South Korea and China, and that is something that would be highly destabilizing to both of those countries. So if we're really going to get serious about North Korea and putting some serious economic squeeze on them, and we've done a good bit in that regard.
Yeah, I was going to get to that because we have had sanctions before. They have had several tests in the past. The international community has condemned them, and the sanctions have been applied, and yet they appear to be capable of ignoring everyone. So what kind of leverage do we have?
I don't think the U.S. has enough leverage to really do the job ourselves. Neither do our allies South Korea and Japan. I think we have to have a lot more discussion with both our South Korean allies as well as the Chinese, who are reluctant to talk about a North Korean collapse. It's one of the problems. But I think we have to anticipate that may happen one of these days. And so there's another aspect of the North Korean nuclear program that I worry about. Would they sell some of this material? it seems to me North Korea is more likely to sell nuclear material than any country in the world because of that desperate economic condition. And I think that's something we have a stake in ourselves, and we have to work with certainly China, Russia, and other countries about that.
We saw what happened politically when President Clinton tried at least the beginning of a kind of rapprochement with North Korea. Politically, in a year like this, is that even in the cards as a way to gain leverage with them?
I doubt if the political climate would support that. But some things can't wait on American elections. And when you're talking about nuclear dangers, you can't say, hey, let's wait until November of 2016 and get a new administration. It takes 6 months to get people in power. It takes that long to get a new Secretary of Defense and State confirmed. You have to have continuity. And that's one of the things that is very concerning to me when you have the kind of animosity we have, a seemingly growing animosity in our political system now, because there has to be enough goodwill where people that are running for office are kept briefed, for instance, on what's going on in the world, so we don't have terribly irresponsible statements being made that are not based on facts. And that kind of dialogue now is, in my opinion, probably sadly lacking.
You said there are no simple answers. Is there a beginning for the international community, even as it tries to figure out exactly what kind of device the North Koreans have exploded here?
Well, I think we need to do some tabletop exercises with our Chinese friends over the North Korean, as well as other things. We need to have much more military-to-military dialogue with China. We've got disputes with them in the South China Sea. China has disputes with Japan about some of the islands in the neighborhood that both claim. But that should not prevent us from understanding that we're in a different era. We're in an era where weapons of mass destruction are no longer the monopoly of great powers. Indeed, no longer the monopoly of states. When you have not only nuclear materials that could be used to make a bomb by a terrorist, when you have biological and you have chemical, and when you have cyber that can be used as a weapon of mass disruption, if not destruction, then the countries of the world, particularly the major powers, but other countries too, have to start working together. I say that we're in a race between cooperation and catastrophe. In 2015, cooperation didn't run very fast.
Former Georgia Senator Sam Nunn, former chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee, co-founder of the Nuclear Threat Initiative, and a distinguished professor at Georgia Tech at the Sam Nunn International School. Senator, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dennis. A great pleasure.